Good afternoon. I'd like to call the work session meeting of the Travis Central Appraisal District's Board of Directors to order. The time is 12:10 on June 7th, 2022. We are conducting this meeting at TCAD headquarters located at 850 East Anderson Lane in Austin, Texas, and a quorum is present. We are also continuing to provide this meeting as a Zoom call as a courtesy. The first item on our work session agenda is item three, workshop on district budget preparation and possible direction to staff on budget priorities. The board will not make any final decisions regarding the district budget at this meeting.
Okay, so this is just a presentation of our preliminary budget. To get any feedback from you, we've got to approve our preliminary budget by June 15th. So we've got a deadline we need to make, but this is just a preliminary overview of what we've done with the budget. We talked last year, we asked for a pretty large increase and we agreed to split it over 2 years. So we asked for half of our staff increase last year. We'll be coming back this year asking for the remainder of the staff, particularly in clerical divisions where we find we need the most support and assistance. And with that, I'll let Leanna take over and I lose my voice like you, Debbie, and pick up from there.
Good afternoon. Okay, so the PowerPoint's on your books, but it is up on the screen. We did a couple different analyses this year. We looked again at our CAD comparisons of how we compare to other CADs, and as well as our workload increase, staffing overview. We did a professional salary survey by a company, Perlmeyer is the company that did it. We did a benefit survey, and then we'll talk about some highlights from the proposed budget. For 2021, we pulled some data from the most recent comptroller survey. So Travis CAD, we have the third highest market value in the state. And just for comparison, we would be most comparable to Dallas, Tarrant, and Bear. Go to the next page, Davina. So we have 281 billion.
And that actually went up for 2022 to $451 billion.
A helpful statistic that we use in weighing appraisal districts and their performance is the budget as a percent of market value. And Travis CAD has the lowest budget as a percent of market value. We're running at a 0.0072%. Which is comparable with Dallas, who's at a 0.0078. Another percentage that we use, and we talked about this last year, is the budget as a percent of total levy. And that levy is how much revenue we generate from for the taxing entities. And Travis CAD is running at a 0.40, which is the lowest in the state out of all the CADs. And then based on market value, levy, budget, we like to compare ourselves to Dallas, Tarrant, and Bear when we're doing analysis. They're really the three most comparable CADs out of the Metro CADs. And so for the rest of our statistics we analyze, we're going to really focus on those three other CADs. So the number of protests filed, Travis CAD, and again, this is looking at 2020 protests filed. We had 124,110 protests, and you can see where we kind of compare to the other CADs. And again, this was the year that we didn't reappraise, so the protests were lower. We're at, Mario will talk about it in our regular meeting, but we're at about 165,000.
168,000 as of this morning.
So we've increased substantially. It'll put us more comparable with the Dallas level of protests. Something kind of interesting about this is our percentage of protests compared to our total value and as of total parcels. So we run about 64-65% of total value under protests, which is significantly higher than the other CADs. We also have a higher number of lawsuits. We run about 17-18% of total value under lawsuit, which is very comparable with the major metro CADs, Dallas and Bear, but we are the highest. We have $50 billion under lawsuit.
And part of that is because in Austin and Travis County, we have the highest values per parcel in the state.
And so all that kind of leads to our increased workload that we've experienced. We talked about this last year. We looked at our 10-year change and everything's increased. So the number of new subdivisions we're having to process, the number of new lots, the number of field inspections we're having to do, exemptions process, everything's going up. That we have more work that has to get completed to meet our statutory obligations, but we have the same number of staff up until last year's budget or this year's budget. We've ran consistently right around 130 staff members. We did increase to 143 last year, and we'll request an additional 10 this year, which would put us at 153. And just compared to those other three metro CADs, we're significantly lower staff than them. Dallas runs 242 full-time positions and we're at 143. So that's a significant difference. One statistic that I'd like to look at is how many people in our staff are working more than our 40 hours a week. It has increased almost double since 2017. This is only looking at exempt staff, of course, not our hourly staff, but we're on track this year to work about 8,700 to 9,000 hours over the required 40 hours a week, which is, it's a lot. And it really puts a toll on our staff. So for the 2023 budget, we'll be requesting 10 new positions. Five of these are part of our GIS team. We previously outsourced our GIS services to a company that did all of the mapping and those technical skills within GIS. While that was great and it worked well, we do feel like based on the number of new subdivisions and deeds that have to get processed, we'd like to bring that back in-house. So the five staff out of the 10 are bringing that department back in-house.
And we looked at the cost of bringing it back in-house, and it is not going to increase our cost versus our contract with a third party.
We continue to struggle to find qualified applicants. We're competing with some major private sector organizations like Amazon. When I did this presentation back in April, they had 1,600 open positions at Amazon, just in the Austin Metro. And then, of course, Tesla's coming. They had 20 open positions with multiple spots within that position posted online. And because we continue to struggle with staffing, we did hire a consulting firm to do a salary survey just to see if our salaries and us being lower were the reason we're not finding qualified people. But this is throughout all the marketplace. Y'all have heard it. I think everyone's struggling with staffing right now. So we hired Pearl Meyer. They're a nationally recognized compensation firm.
Debbie had a question.
So we have a couple staff that when our GIS service was outsourced, we moved them into other departments. And we plan on bringing a couple of those back. We recently hired a GIS tech that we found, I believe, from Austin Community College. So we've had some good luck in the GIS services and finding people. So we hired Pearl Meyer. They're a nationally recognized firm to do a compensation survey. And they looked not only at appraisal districts and government organizations, but in the private sector as well to see how we compared. They have a very thorough outlined process of the steps they go through. And we can provide that if you're interested, but they look at percentiles. And so we really focus on the 50th percentile, that median. It typically reflects the rate for a job performed at a fully competent level. And so our analysis of what their study shows, we focus just on the median. They also trended the data to July 1st. So they did a time trend on the salaries based on their data points that they have, which are proprietary. And so we took our step and grade system. They gave us some data back, and we took our step and grade and broke it into the low, mid, and high, and compared that to their data points. And they did kind of entry level, middle, and higher end employees for each skill set that they looked at. Not all positions were mapped. It was really hard to find and match some of our positions, but they covered probably 85%. Starting with our clerical group, our customer service department, we currently have 15 employees. Our appraisal support clerks, we have 15, and then we have two deed clerks currently. And what they found was, on average, we are well, our salaries are good in those clerical positions. We were a little higher than the median of what they were reporting. So for these groups, our salaries were competitive, and we wouldn't recommend a change.
Starting salary on for a clerical position for customer service?
It's around $17.50. And just as a reminder, in September of last year, we did that salary increase. They got a 12% increase in September to all salaries in those clerical divisions. In our administrative clerical positions, these are higher skilled clerical positions. So we have our admin assistants and our GIS techs. Again, they found that our salaries are competitive, and they were in the group that received a 12% increase in September also. And then our legal assistants, we did find that these salaries are lower than the market median by about 12.5%. So if we were to make a recommendation, those would need to be adjusted. In our appraiser divisions, our BPP appraisers, we have six people there. The conclusion was that the salaries were lower than the market median by about 9%. In residential, we have 40 appraisers. And again, they are lower than the market median by 12.7%. And then our commercial appraisers, which we have seven employees, those were competitive with the market. And they're in a different grade than our residential and BPP appraisers. So that's kind of to be expected. In our management, our team leads, we have eight team leads across our different departments. It did find that we were about 11% lower than the market median. And then in our managers, we have a total of six. They found we were about 9% lower than the market median. And then our director level, they found that we were about 5.5 to 6% lower than the market median. And when we did our salary adjustments back in September, our clerical staff got 12%, and then our appraisers got a lower amount, and directors only got 3%. So the survey shows us what we kind of expected. We increased more clerical last year, and so those other categories need to be brought back up. So a couple proposals that we added to the 2023 budget. We split our customer service department into two groups. So we'll have our customer service representatives that will assist our customers on the telephone and in person. And then we propose to have an exemption clerk group. This would be some of our longer term employees, more experienced. They would be in a slightly higher grade, but they would be solely focused on processing exemptions. And then there's also four other adjustments that we'd like to make, moving legal assistants to a one grade up to a grade six, BPP and residential appraisers, adjusting them to a grade six, moving our team leads to a grade nine, and our management positions to a grade 15. And this will provide a little more distinction between the different types of jobs that people are doing. You can see all of our clerical would be grouped in the grades 2 through 5. Appraisers would all be 6 through 10. IT, more technical jobs, would be in grade 12. And then management would be 15 through 20. And here's a snapshot of what we did in September. We did clerical a 12% adjustment. The appraisers got a 7% adjustment, and management got a 3%. So what we've proposed in the 2023 adjustment is a 0% adjustment to clerical, 5% to appraisers, and then 5% to management, which would put the appraisers and the clerical at a total adjustment of 12. It would be the same, and management would be at 8. And then, of course, we've experienced a lot of inflation. You hear it in the news every day. Gas prices are going up, cost of food's going up. And so we are proposing a 3% COLA, cost of living adjustment, to the entire system. And so that would put our total adjustment between 11 and 15 over the 2021 and 2022 budget years. The proposed budget is $25,683,000, and that represents a 12.72% increase over last year's budget. The bulk of that are the 10 new positions that are being requested to the 2023 budget, bringing us to 153 proposed positions. And again, our current contract with BIS Consulting to do GIS work is $156,000, but bringing those staff back in-house, it actually, there's a no change to the budget on that. We also did a benefit survey of our staff. We had 61 employees that responded. And then we kind of separated those two groups based on age and then based on tenure to see if there was a trend of what things those employees found most important in their benefits. So we asked how long they've been with the organization. We are we're more heavily weighed to a younger demographic. So our tenure here is generally between the 2 and 10 years, but we do have some 10 and 20 years. The age group, we have a pretty proportionate bell curve based on age, which was actually surprising for me because we are attracting younger employees, which is good for our succession planning. One thing that I found huge, we had almost 97% of staff responded that they're satisfied or very satisfied with our benefits. That's huge. Mario's done a lot of work to get our benefits as great as they are. And I think that stat really shows. And then in terms of importance, we asked them what to weigh salary and benefits. What do they think is most important? It was about 65% salary, 35% benefits. The two highest ranked benefits were remote work and employer paid dependent health coverage, which that's kind of the trend in the marketplace. We anticipated that remote work would be a highly sought after benefit.
Oh, we're going to continue to do remote work. Is that going on?
As whenever possible, we will continue to offer that as an opportunity for our employees. It's when we're interviewing, that's the number one question that we're asked by interviewees is, do we offer remote work?
Is customer service still working?
Customer service is in-house. There's a split between them, but a lot of them are in-house because we've got customers walking in.
Yes.
And then
that's important because there's been a lot of people complain about customer service and their answers, their questions not being answered. So,
we got a lot of new people in customer service. Our turnover in that department, the churn has been incredible. So lots of new trainees.
So yeah, we need some more training there.
We need more retention. I need to get them in.
That's important.
Get them trained and then be able to retain them. And in some cases, we're seeing them churn in months.
Days even.
So that churn and customer service
is a
struggle.
What do you think causes that?
We've actually asked them. So they're treated just really bad by the public.
Because they're probably not the ones they need to talk to.
Yeah.
And they can't transfer that person to the actual person they need to speak to. And I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
We did have 88.5% of employees say that a COLA would be a desirable benefit to add to the budget. And we did put that in at 3%. And there's just a recap of the COLA and the adjustments that we're proposing. Some of the other benefits that came up during the benefit survey that we're going to implement, a 529 college savings plan. The cost of college has increased substantially. And so a 529 allows you to save, or it doesn't even have to be your children. It could be anyone to go to a state college. And there's some information there about a 529 plan. There's no income restrictions. There's no restriction on who you can use it for. You can withdraw the money tax-free. You can change who your beneficiary of the benefit is. So it's a really good plan. Right now, we contribute 5% to a 401(a) retirement plan every year, no less than 5%. So we're proposing in our budget, it would be a zero change to the budget, but taking that 5% and giving staff two options. So you can either put it into your retirement plan or put it into a 529, which gives them just more options for that 5% to be used. We'll also be adding pet insurance. This was about 20% of our employees listed this as a benefit that they wanted. So there will be no cost to TCAD. We're just going to sponsor a group plan that they can then elect into that plan. We also did an analysis of the auto allowance. We were considerably low compared to the other CADs. Currently, we pay $6,600 a year to auto allowance. I provided the other CADs kind of where they were at. So we are proposing to change the auto allowance to $8,400 a year. And that's in the 2023 budget. And all of that brings us to the 12.72% increase from the 2023 proposed budget. Are there any items y'all would like more information on? We had an increase in our, we call it co-development. So we invest into our software, into automation. It hasn't increased from last year, but we have a set budget amount. I think it's $300,000 or $400,000 every year that goes towards that.
And we also have a reserve fund for that. So if we find an automation or something that would be beneficial, we can dip into our reserves to implement that sooner. And we are looking right now with our software vendor to help us with some of the shortages that we have and where we're falling behind. We've got a co-dev that should be coming out at the end of this week to help us automate the processing of the exemptions. So it was just a matter of waiting for our software vendor to get that development done for us. But we think that that should greatly ease our backlog. We are also looking at another vendor for imagery that the appraisal district uses called Cyclomedia that offers some street level imagery with additional capabilities. So seeing if we can't incorporate that within our budget, we think that there may be an opportunity for us to exchange some of our current imagery for this imagery and make it not a budget increase, but kind of make it kind of a budget wash. We always want to be as budget conscious as we can. And if there's a way that we can save to pay for something new, we want to take those opportunities.
One thing we really focused on when we did the 2022 budget workshop in 2021, Maria came from, she was the IT director before this. And so she really focused on automation, and that's seen by the number of employees. We didn't add staff for 10 years. We automated everything to the point that it really couldn't be automated anymore. We just needed people.
Interesting.
I have a question. Can you give me a small, like an overview breakdown of what goes into professional services as a category?
Professional mm-hmm. services are software as a service. So our CAMA software okay. vendor is the main one in there. And then like our PR services, the Swagit for our board meetings, that will be in there.
Our IT security mm-hmm. contract.
How are y'all doing with vacancies? We're all of us have had lots of vacancies. It's been a struggle.
It is. We are exploring new ways to fill our vacancies. We've gotten new contacts with some of the colleges to do more of a outreach among recent graduates. We've got new contacts with the Texas Workforce Commission that we're working through as well. And we are also making adjustments to the way that we hire and interview. In the past, we had the luxury of taking a little bit more time when an application came in. But what we're finding is if we don't act on that application as soon as it comes in, that person is finding a different position. So we are now doing weekly calls. So if an application comes in during the week, we are calling and scheduling them very next week to come in for the interview so that that application doesn't get stale and that they don't find other opportunities. So we are working really hard to fill our vacancies, but it still continues to be a struggle, but I don't think we're unique.
No. Do y'all have a lot of vacancies?
Yeah, we've got quite a few. We've got 10 vacancies in appraisal positions, I think.
There's 13 in appraisal.
We just have a retiree today celebrating mm-hmm. her retirement. So we continue to have some attrition in our staff. We had two commercial appraisers leave us to go work for tax agents. So, yeah.
Do you think, is it money? Is it salary? And if so, do you think that these increases is going to help reduce the losing people?
I think part of it is going to be salary. The other part is going to be work-life balance, because for our staff, we have gotten so much more work. We're working so much overtime that we're not achieving that work-life balance that they're looking for. And so we see a lot of people leaving us because they're getting other opportunities that provide them a greater work-life balance.
And some of that overtime is because of vacancies, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
That we're dealing with. So I think that, I think once we get staffed up, then we can kind of alleviate some of that burden, some of that overtime strain on staff. And then, as we get new technology, new things implemented with our new software vendor, we just went with the new software vendor this year. So it's a new software. As we get more things and we're more familiar with it, I think that will ease it some a bit. But I also think we need to make it as a legislative priority that we need the tax calendar to be fixed or adjusted. Because what I'm dealing with right now, we had 140,000 protests last year. We have 168,000 protests this year. I've got 28,000 more protests that I've got to deal with in the same amount of time. And right now for our property owners, when we're doing an informal to get everybody in, we calculated it's about 5 minutes to 6 minutes per informal. Taxpayers don't feel heard when you only give them that amount of time. But given, our lack of resources and time, we don't really have, we don't have a luxury to do much more. So we really are pressing legislatively that there needs to be something done so that our calendar can be extended and we've got enough time to do our informals and formal hearings and give the taxpayers more time. But when we still have a July 20th deadline to approve the roll and 25th to certify, and we still get increasing volume, we're struggling to figure out.
Are most of your employees able to telework, at least some?
Most of them are, yes.
Okay. We've got, so you're able, for most of your job postings, you're able to offer telework?
Yes, we do for most of them. A lot of the customer-facing positions mm-hmm. yeah. don't have that luxury. And when we're in our ARB season, we've got to be a little bit more present because of in-person hearings. But when we can, we do try to offer that as an additional benefit of working with the appraisal district.
Well, hopefully getting these salaries up a little bit will reduce the attrition.
Yeah. And it's for us, really, it's retention is key because it takes so long to get somebody educated on the property tax system and all the nuances that, you know, if you're constantly having new hires, then they're not as educated. But, you know, we're our front lines are a lot of brand new people. And so the answers that they give are not always the best answers, but they're doing the best that they can. But, you know, they're just so green. And that's just because, you know, we're not able to retain the people once we get them trained up. And that's really going to be, for me, key, is we want to make sure that we're getting retention on our staff. Yeah. We are working closely with some universities to see if we can't get more programs in place to encourage more people to look at government. And then the other thing is a lot of younger people are not looking to government as a career. So it's not as attractive as it used to be to go work for government.
Even when I graduated, which was still quite a few years ago, but when I left graduated college, governments weren't in the job fairs. It wasn't even a thought to go work for a government. I ended up here, but it was by chance. We're going to make an effort to go to some job fairs and really put the appraisal district out there as a good place to work and make a career.
We just need to be competitive with the appraisals in terms of salaries to attract them.
Anyone else have any questions about the budget? Do I have a motion to adjourn this work session? Okay, that's moved by Blanca. Moved by Blanca and seconded by Ms. Bastian at 12:45 on June 7th. This work session is adjourned.